There is something that's actually not on the source sheet, but there is a famous Mishnah at the very, very end of Masechet Megillah. Well, it's actually at the end of the third parak in the Mishnayot, but the way it's organized, it's at the end of our Bavli. And that is, Moshe tikein lahem liYisrael, shiyu dorshin b'ilchot Pesach b'Pesach, ilchot chag atzer b'atzer, ilchot chag b'chag. And what that is summing up the list of the Kriyot HaTorah that we have on the holidays, which are all about the holiday. As just a parenthetic statement, according to the law of the Mishnah, on Rosh Hashanah we read the Parsha in Emor about Rosh Hashanah, not the Akedah. That's a Braita, and we end up following that Braita. But the position of the Mishnah is that you always read the laws of the holiday. And so up until that point, you say at whatever generation they established public Torah reading, that's what they established. And then you come to this Mishnah, which says, Moshe tikein lahem liYisrael. Now, is Moshe, I'm going to do it a little bit with nuance, when we say Moshe, do we mean Moshe, or do we mean, and I put it in quote marks, air quotes, Moshe, meaning, is it Moshe the man established it, or does it mean some ancient tradition? And the reason I mention that is because one of the most popular phrases that we have that relates to Moshe Rabbeinu is Halacha l'Moshe miSinai. It's a law that comes back. And according to many Rishonim, in many circumstances, what that means is an ancient tradition, not necessarily Moshe, but an ancient tradition that's both, as we would say in Japanese, oisgehalten, perfectly accepted, and that has its roots somewhere before at any point in time that we can identify. And so therefore you could ask, is this Moshe or Moshe? I'd like to suggest that it actually means Moshe. And by the way, there are Rishonim who suggest that the original rule of public Torah reading was established by Moshe, and that it was only later on that it was enhanced, meaning the idea that there should be a public Torah reading at some point that we read from the Torah was Moshe's, and that at a later generation, for instance, Ezra is credited with establishing Monday, Thursday, and Shabbat Mincha, and perhaps the Mo'adim are later.
Can I ask you what possible tradition would have been kept pre-Moshe?
Not necessarily pre-Moshe, but there may be things that are post-Moshe that we refer to as Halacha l'Moshe miSinai, meaning it's an ancient tradition that goes back to the period before we can anchor it in a particular personality. I'll give another example of that. There's another phrase that we use. In several times in Halacha, in the Gemara, we refer to particular practices as dating from Chagai, Zachariah, u'Malachi. Now, the funny thing is, Chagai, Zachariah probably never met Malachi. Malachi is a slightly later generation, and they did not operate at the same time. But Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi is sort of a nickname for saying the last prophets. And so the idea is that this particular halacha dates back to the end of the prophetic tradition. And it doesn't necessarily mean those individuals, but it's a sort of a way of saying that. And so there are some Rishonim who suggest that when we refer to Moshe Rabbeinu, sometimes we mean Moshe the man, and sometimes we just mean an ancient authority that we all accept, that we're certainly not challenging the halakha, but it's a way of saying that. But however, what I'm going to suggest here in the shiur is that the original rule of a public reading of the Torah indeed can be associated with Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's first of all based on some fairly obvious textual source, but I want to take that further. Where is the only place in the Torah where we're commanded to read the Torah? It's in Hakel. And that's what Moshe says. We'll hear it next week in Vayelech. Moshe says, every 7 years, Moed Chag HaSukkot, right, we are to gather and read HaTorah HaZot. Now, this same Torah, which Moshe, by the way, also tells us the king has to write and keep with him and read all the time, is something that must be read publicly in front of everybody, must be gathered to hear this Torah. So we do find Moshe Rabbeinu already having a hand in establishing sort of public Torah reading that has to take place. But tying those pieces together between Hakel once every 7 years for everybody and having a reading on some sort of basis, whether it's every week or on holidays, whatever it may be, on a smaller scope, not with the whole nation together, that I'd like to suggest is something that kind of comes out of Moshe's speech, which is Sefer Dvarim, and particular nuances in Moshe's speech that are really highlighted in particular parashiot, including this week's. So I want to start with a passage that's in this week's parasha, passage number one. After the Ne'um HaMitzvot, remember, Dvarim is made up of a historic introduction, and then a repetition of the Aseret HaDibrot, and then, the way that we presented it here, is then a detailing and breakdown of the Aseret HaDibrot, containing all of the mitzvot, following that as an outline. And it ends, the last two mitzvot in that series are the mitzvot that begin Parshat Ki Tavoh, which is Bikurim and Vidui Ma'asrot. And that's really the end of it. Meaning, if you read from Re'eh all the way through Re'eh, Shoftim, Ki Teitzeh, it's straight mitzvot. There's no stories, there's no prophecies, there's no, it's straight mitzvot. Do this, do that, establish courts, give this to the Kohanim. If a Navi comes and says the following is what you do, boom, 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 boom. All the way through Ki Teitzeh and the beginning of Ki Tavoh, two more mitzvot. And suddenly it's like power breaks. It's like you're running, 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 mitzvot, and then you read this next passage. Exactly this next passage. Hayom hazeh, Adonai Elohecha mitzavcha lasot tachukim ha'elu v'tamishpatim. Now, Hayom hazeh is a phrase that we're very familiar with in Dvarim. It's something that we say, sorry for the pun, every day, several times a day. Vayu ha'dvarim ha'elu asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. Right? Now, in reality, Moshe is speaking, and so he's saying, this is what I'm telling you today. That's fine. But the problem is that the word today is a very limiting word. So let's take a look. Hayom hazeh, Adonai Elohecha mitzavcha lasot tachukim ha'elu v'tamishpatim. On this very day, God is commanding you to do all of these laws. By the way, is that true? It's not true. When did God command us to do all these laws? 39 years earlier at Har Sinai. Here we are at the end of the road. So it's kind of hard to say, on this day, God is commanding you to do these mitzvot. You've got to do them with all of your intent, with all your heart. And then there's another mention of Hayom. And you see that all Hayoms are bolded here. At the Adonai Ha'amarta Hayom, which probably is best translated as, you have elevated God today. That you're going to obey Him and keep His mitzvot, etc. And Adonai Hamir Hayom, and God has elevated you. To be His treasured nation, and to raise you up. So in other words, there's a reciprocal relationship between you and God. You have raised God up, God has raised you up. Beautiful, beautiful piece. Leads to that famous Agadah about Hashem's tefillin. But notice that the word Hayom keeps popping up here. And I checked, and the word Hayom shows up in Sefer Dvarim more than almost any other Sefer in Tanakh, but by a lot. It's a word that shows up a few times here and there, and in Dvarim it shows up like 70 times. Now, occasionally, the word Hayom is there because of necessity of saying, you know, today we're doing this. But sometimes it comes in a context in which it could be very misleading. Like saying, well, this is what you have to do today. Tomorrow's up to you. Or this is what you have to do today, but before now it was open. The question is, why does Moshe use this word so frequently in his speech? Now again, to be honest, when you're giving a speech, often you will use the word today or right now because you're speaking right now. But again, it seems to show up in places which could easily mislead us into believing that this is a temporal thing and not for all time. And so we'll take a look here. There's a famous comment of Rashi. The famous comment of Rashi is actually somewhere else we'll see in a second, but he makes the same comment here. On our pasuk, Hayom Hazeh, Rashi comments, B'chol yom yu b'necha charashim. Why does Moshe say Hayom Hazeh? Because I want you to experience it as if today you've joined the Brit. It's a fresh, new, exciting thing. Ki'ilu bo b'yom nitztavita aleihem. As if today you were commanded. You get commanded to do something. God comes to you out of the blue today and says, I want you to write my words into little boxes and put them on your hand and put it on your arm and put them on your head. You get very excited. I've been putting out tefillin every day since I was 13. But you're very excited when something fresh. Says, I want you to have that attitude. Now, we would read this and say, nice drasha. We're not the only ones who read it that way. If we take a look at the Netziv in Source 4, he says, Hayom hazeh, yadua hadrasha v'rashi. It's a drasha. It's a nice thing. Meaning, Hayom is there to tell you that every day you should experience it as something new. Then it seems says, an important rule that the Gemara states in Shabbat, a text can never be abandoned from its simple meaning. Meaning a text means what it means. You want to build drashot around it, fine, but that can't replace the simple meaning. And the Netziv goes on to say, why didn't, what we call pshat. So the Netziv goes on to say why Moshe said Hayom, meaning this at actual day, the day 3,000 plus years ago, where he's standing in Arvot Moav and saying goodbye to Bnei Yisrael, he says today. And what's his reason? He goes on and says a particular event happened that day. I'd like to defend Rashi. I like to defend Rashi and say what Rashi is saying here is actually pshat. What Rashi is saying here is the simple, straightforward meaning that when Moshe says Hayom Hazeh, what he means is, I want you in 2017 to experience it as if it's absolutely brand new. Right? So
that's not
pshat, that's a Rashi. All right, and I'm going to defend it as pshat. That's my challenge. Right? So we'll see. Now the Ramban, by the way, reads it like the Netziv. The simple pshat is, and by the way, the other Rishonim also. The Ramban says, Hayom Hazeh, source 3, Adonai Lecha Mitzav Chalasot, Hinei Shlim Moshe Leva'eret HaTorah L'Chadesh Kol HaMitzvot. This is the famous Ramban's approach, that part of the mitzvot is repetition, part of it is adding new nuances to the mitzvot, and some of them are new mitzvot, like mitzvot relating to war and other things having to do with the land they weren't given before. And he says, once he completed that, in other words, Moshe is saying, I have now presented to you the entire gamut, both a recap from then and the new stuff now, and all the new nuances, and now you are fully commanded. Hayom Hazeh, you're fully commanded. Which means, by the way, we're looking at it and say, good, okay, that happened then, very nice. But then I got to really ask the question. And I'm going to ask this question on the Ramban and on the Netziv, and everybody who else reads it this way. What impact does it have on me that on a particular day in Arvot Moav, in what we'll assume is the winter of the 40th year, on that particular day, they got all the mitzvot? What does that do for me? That it was then, as opposed to a different day, or over the course of a few weeks. And the reality is that we can't even say it was a particular day, because it was over the course of several weeks that Moshe was giving his speech. And it was over the course of years that they were given the mitzvot. Some of the mitzvot they're given now, some of them are given in the midbar, some of them are given in most of it in Har Sinai. It's a continuum. So unless you want to say Hayom Hazeh means this period, and then how big is the period, and you're going to call 40 years a Yom, that's a big stretch. What are we going to do with it? So I'd like to point out, if you take a look, the way that Hayom is used, again, this is Moshe's speech. The way that Hayom is used, sometimes, no question, Hayom means today. Today is in this 24-hour period. You woke up this morning, it's going to be over by tonight, during this period, X and Y and Z. So for instance, when you have the phrase ad hayom hazeh means till this very day. Meaning from whatever it was until this day, those rocks are still there. That mountain is still called that. Ad hayom hazeh. And that means yom. But take a look at, for instance, at passage 6. Moshe is about to have Bnei Yisrael enter the brit with Hashem. And what does he say? Atem nitzavim hayom kochem. Now, if you think about it, the word Hayom here is superfluous. There's no need to say it. If Moshe wants to say, everybody's here, we're all joining the Brit, he could have said, Atem Nitzavim Kochem, you're all standing. What do you have to say Hayom for? Why is he adding that in? He's gaining nothing. And again, he's a little bit, if you want to read it in a jaundiced way, kind of misleading us to feel like, yeah, then they passed the Brit. What does that do with me? That was then. And notice how often the word Hayom comes up in just a little passage. God's making this brit with you today. Fine. So if the brit would happen then, that one day, maybe it's no impact on me. So that God should establish today that you are his nation. And what about today? What about the next week? And famously in the passage at the end of Nitzavim, Re'ena tatil fanacha hayom et hachayim v'tatov. Are you going to tell me that that's a choice we only had once in history? Today I'm giving you life and the good and death and the curse and choose life? That was a choice we only had once. Very strange. And this continuously courses through the use of Hayom here that it really becomes somewhat problematic. Take a look as an example at the end of passage 7. Moshe's, the crescendo of Moshe's words to Am Yisrael is Hazinu. This beautiful on the outside, but you take a look at it, painful and threatening and scary poem about what's going to happen if we abandon God, is Hashira HaZot, that you have to memorize it, you have to know it, so that when these things happen, you'll reflect on why and you'll do tshuva. And how does Moshe begin Hazinu? Hazinu HaShamayim Va'aretz. He brings as witnesses heaven and earth, because heaven and earth are here forever. They're witnesses about this breed. I can't bring human witnesses, they'll be gone. But the heaven and earth are here forever. How does he introduce it? Take a look at the last pasuk in passage 7. Ha'idoti v'chem hayom et ha'shamayim v'ta'aretz. I have called to testify today. Ha'shamayim v'aretz. By the way, that means that was that day. I don't have any witnesses anymore. That was that day. Again, hayom can actually defeat the purpose of this speech as making the brit and the mitzvot and everything, all the commandedness, as a one-time event. Even the choice to do good or bad is a one-time event. They had the choice. They took the choice to do good. Very yes, I'm happy. I don't have a choice anymore. Very good. Very good. Now let's see how that happens. And the most famous example of that is the one I mentioned earlier, is in the middle of Shema. Vayu adverim ha'ela shon achim etzavcha hayom al levavecha. And Rashi, on the spot, quotes this Sifri that we have in source 10. The words of the Torah shouldn't be like an old thing, an old decree of the king. It shouldn't be like an old thing that a person doesn't take in, isn't interested by. Yeah, this old stuff, we've heard it before. But rather, something new and fresh that everybody's excited with. So he's saying attitudinally, that's what you got, that's the way that Hashem wants you to look at Torah. Every day it's a new exciting thing, even if you're reading the same parasha. Something new, something exciting, something fresh. Very good. Zepshat. So I want to show you two comments of the Sifri, and then just comment on them. And talk about the nature of oratory. The Sifri, here at the very beginning of Dvarim, it's the Midrash Halachan Dvarim. Vahi barbim shana, melameid shelo hochicham ela samuch lemita. The beginning of Dvarim, and then throughout the speech in Dvarim, is filled with rebuke to Am Yisrael for their behavior, and by the way, for their parents' behavior, meaning since the Exodus. Remember that opening line in Dvarim, Barava, Mulsuf, etc., etc., and Rashi famously quotes the Midrash that every one of those is an allusion to some place where they sinned. Watch this comment. Melameid shelo hochicham ela samuch lemita. Moshe only rebuked Bnei Yisrael just before he was going to die. Mimi lamad, who did he learn that from? Mi Yaakov. Yaakov is on his deathbed. What does he do on his deathbed? Reuven, you blew it with Bilhah. By the way, what did Reuven say to what did Yaakov say to Reuven when it happened? He didn't say anything. Shimon and Levi, I can't believe what you did in Shechem. What did he say to them then? He said one line, you've made us look bad in the I know we're going to get killed. But he didn't give him Musar. He gives him Musar on his deathbed to Shimon and Levi.
Shlochiach et banav el samuch
lemita.
What? It wasn't exactly a compliment, but it occurred.
Agreed.
He chastised them
because of practical considerations. Asher hivashtem et rechenu b'nei yoshvei ha'aretz, and they're going to kill us. And there you get the last word in. Should our sister be treated like a zona? And they get the last word in. But on the deathbed, he gets the last word in. And Shimon and Levi get a not so royal treatment. There's four reasons why a person should only give rebuke at the end of their life. First of all, because then you're going to start giving mussar all the time. Think about this as parents, right? Mussar and then nachamo. That'd be one time. There's several reasons for this. First of all, you don't want the whole relationship to be based on yelling. Second of all, mussar is much more impactful when said once. You know, one powerful message that's given, a person carries it and they're reminded of it. So they hear it all the time. Yeah, it's a broken record. You have to explain now what broken record means, but okay. If you're somebody who's always getting rebuked, then now you're embarrassed to show up around other people because everybody hears you're getting chewed out all the time. And so you shouldn't have bad feelings towards that person who's giving rebuke. And then it says something wild. So that when you pass b'shalom. Why? Shehatochecha v'yalidei shalom. Proper rebuke, when given properly, actually bonds people together. Not constant yelling, not constant harping, but proper rebuke actually brings people together. And they bring examples from Avraham being mochiach et Avimelech about the wells, and the next thing is they make a brit. Yitzchak being mochiach Avimelech about their problems, the next Avimelech. And then they end up having peace. They give examples here. V'cheina tamotzei b'Yoshua, by the way. Yoshua did the same thing. When did Yoshua give the big musar to B'nai Israel? Just before he died. V'cheina tamotzei b'Shmuel. Shmuel also did the same thing. And v'cheina tamotzei b'David. Where does David give his really big, we call it the Marlon Brando speech, right? Hey, take care of Yoav and Shimi. Right? That's on his deathbed. In other words, and they're all getting it from Moshe, who himself learned it from Yaakov. So in other words, Chazal wants us to take a look at this farewell speech, not just as informational, but as departing, as the last thing. And the notion that Shlo Yecho Mochiach V'Chozer Mochiach, you shouldn't rebuke and continue, is that you want that one rebuke to really make a mark and stay with the person.
That works very well if you know what you're doing.
Right. And Moshe has the advantage, right? By the way, how did Yaakov have the know that?
Yaakov
know that because he's on his deathbed. He's not getting much better and he's old, right? And he says himself, I'm not even going to reach the age of my ancestors. Moshe's told. But you're right. In the case of David, maybe the fact that, Avishag, etc., was a haunt. Yeah, and getting cold and the clothes weren't working. Hey, you're right. And sometimes, people do get these advantages of being Nevi'im and being told, your time's up.
I think as parents we have to guide our children.
Sure.
It doesn't necessarily mean always rebuking.
Right.
Rebuke in a very positive way.
Correct. And there's different kinds of rebuke and rebuke for different sort of things. The things that we're talking about here are grievous sins. But imagine if Yaakov had laid into Reuven fully then. And then they lived together for the next 40 years. Think about how forbidden a relationship there would be between the two of them. And Yaakov brilliantly keeps his peace. And what's the next line after it says that Reuven slept with Bilhah? Vayuv and Yaakov, Shnei Masar, the family's complete. And Yaakov does nothing to disrupt that. At the end, right, something I need to tell you, Reuven. The reason you are not the Bechor is because of this. Shimon and Levi, you guys are dangerous. I got to separate you up. But the point that this midrash is trying to make for us is that Moshe views his speech as not just informational and historiosophic, but also as being his departure. And this is what I want to imprint on your brains. This is what you want to carry around. The next piece from the Sifri, which is from the middle of Dvarim. Again, a phrase Hayom picks up the following. So you have some pitzela who comes and he quotes something he heard from his Rosh Hashiva. Don't view it as having heard it from the pitzela. View it as having heard it from the Rosh Hashiva. Right? And what's the proof text? Asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom. We'll see where this goes. V'lo kashrei pi chacham, lo kashrei pi chachamim. Not just chacham, but chachamim. And not just chachamim, but Sanhedrin. And not just Sanhedrin, but Moshe Rabbeinu. You hear a piece of Torah? You have to visualize it as if you heard it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. Midrash builds up. And then ultimately, where does it go? V'lo kashomea mi pi Moshe, lo kashomea mi pi ha-gevura.
Hayom.
So let's go back. Moshe Rabbeinu, putting all this together. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying goodbye to the people. He's on his deathbed, as it were. This is the speech that's going to imprint on them. And I'm going to bet you that Moshe Rabbeinu knows that. And I'm going to bet you that Moshe Rabbeinu knows that this speech, which he's going to write down, Hashem told him to write the whole thing down and give it to them as a Sefer Torah, that this speech is going to be studied over and over and over. Moshe Rabbeinu's biggest disappointment, biggest loss in his life, is the fact that he has to die and they cross. He wants to cross with them. So how does he cross with them? Hayom. Hashem Achim Etzav Hayom. In 5 years, Kindalach, you're going to be over there fighting against the Canaanim, you're going to read the Torah, and you're going to say Hayom, and you're going to picture me talking to you. And 40 years from now, you'll be all settled in your territory, and you're going to take out a Sefer Torah, and you're going to read Hayom, and you're going to picture me talking to you. And 3,000 years from now, people are going to take out a Sefer Torah, and they're going to hear Ha'idoti v'chem Hayom et Hashemayim et Haaretz, and right now, the heaven and the earth are witnesses. Moshe uses a brilliant rhetorical flair, which is using the word Hayom, to make a temporary speech permanent, and to make a temporary human permanent. To make Moshe Rabbeinu's presence as a teacher something it isn't Moshe said, but Moshe says. So the Midrash says, when you hear something from a katan, ultimately you have to imagine you heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashanachim etzav hayom. I think Rashi is saying pshat. When he says, hayom hazeh, Hashem lokecha mitzav chalasot, the reason Moshe said it that way, hayom hazeh, is to tell you, whenever you read these words, I want you to picture that Hashem is commanding you today. That today Hashem is making a brit with you. That today the heavens and earth are witnesses. And that today these mitzvot are being given fresh. So that they're both fresh, they're immediate, they're exciting, but they also impact directly on you. And this way, it's not that I have an ancient tradition from my family that goes back, but I was at Har Sinai, I was in Arvot Moab, I heard it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. So I'm part of a chain that on one hand has several thousand links that go back, and on the other hand is a direct link. And the direct link comes from the word Hayom. I think that's part of the rhetorical flourish and the rhetorical wisdom of Moshe Rabbeinu in this speech, of using the word Hayom consistently in order to make sure that this speech is a speech that happened once and happens every time we open up a Sefer Torah. Which is why now, when we refer to the Torah in the Ve'im, what's the Torah called? It's called Torat Hashem, but it's also called Torat Moshe. Moshe makes a kinyan on the Torah, as it were, and becomes the owner of the Torah, as it were, because he makes the Torah permanent by using this particular word.